Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Each time we hear our favorite songs, the memories come along. All the times we're missing, spending the hours reminiscing.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, we are concluding our look back at nostalgia for the music of bygone eras of New York City. But there's one thing we haven't tackled yet. Why do we get nostalgic in the first place? And why does music seem to conjure up such strong feelings of nostalgia? Well, it's time to ask an expert. Clay Rutledge is an associate professor of psychology at North Dakota State University. He has conducted research about music and nostalgia, and he's Skyping in from Fargo, North Dakota. Clay, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
So all this week, we've been hearing from our guests and our listeners about different times of New York City music history that they're nostalgic for. Why do we get nostalgic in the first place?
Well, nostalgia is a very common phenomenon that most people experience regularly. And there's a whole host of reasons that people become nostalgic. But I think in general, we have a desire to stay connected with our past and to be reminded of the experiences in our past that we cherish the most. So nostalgia is a sort of time travel machine where we can mentally go backwards to times and to experiences that are very precious to us, that remind us that we're loved, that we've had great experiences and meaningful experiences in life.
So nostalgia is a good thing, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's, you know, our research, which we've been doing for a little over 10 years now, certainly indicates that nostalgia is a very healthy activity. Though historically, you know, that wasn't always believed to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it considered a disorder like a century ago?
Yeah, for a couple centuries, nostalgia was either considered a neurological disease, so some sort of brain disease, or even into the mid-20th century, there was a view that nostalgia might be akin to depression or homesickness, that it was some type of psychological disorder associated with negative feelings and perhaps anxiety.
Hmm. So, but now not only is it considered good, but some of your colleagues in this research have actually suggested nostalgia exercises, right? That you should engage in nostalgia on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so what our research and the research I've done with some of my colleagues suggest is that nostalgia is not the same thing as homesickness or a more negative mental time travel or a more negative longing. It's about the things that we cherish, right? It's about the things that we love. And so it's a good idea. It is a useful and healthy activity to revisit these experiences because they remind us that our lives are good and that we've had great experiences. And that gives us the mental energy and confidence and inspiration to move forward and take on new challenges.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Clay Rutledge, associate professor of psychology at North Dakota State University, who has done various experiments on research into music and nostalgia. Let me read you, Clay, a comment from our listener, Joanne, here in New York, who writes that she was nostalgic for the heydays of the Fillmore East in the late 60s down in the Village, doubleheaders like Santana, followed by Jefferson Airplane, or Big Brother and the Holding Company, featuring Janis Joplin, followed by Buffalo Springfield. Remarkable, legendary lineups, some terrific memories, would love to go back and do it all over, especially at those prices and knowing what I know now. Is that simple reminiscence or is that nostalgia?
Yeah, I think that is a great example of nostalgia because she's highlighting something that was clearly memorable and unique, right? We can't have that type of experience every day where we get to go to legendary concerts.
Yeah.
And she's also highlighting some of the features that she thinks made it better back then. And in particular, she pointed out prices, which any of us who try to go to concerts know that it's pretty cost prohibitive these days.
Yeah. What is it about music, though, that seems to be so effective at triggering nostalgia?
Well, the way I try to explain it to people is music is essentially a soundtrack to our lives, right? Most of us enjoy music, and at different periods of our life can identify music that meant a lot to us, especially in your adolescent and young adult years. It's not surprising that, you know, even now, pushing 40 years old, I like the music. I mean, I like new music too, of course, but I'm happy to revisit the music from when I was in high school and college. So that seems to be something that is a very potent sensory trigger of nostalgia, and we can think about the memories associated with that music.
Does it have to be? I mean, let me give you an example just from my own experience. There's an Elton John song called "Someone Saved My Life Tonight," which, you know, in the summer of 1975, this song was all over the place, and specifically would be played. I had a summer job as a parkie, you know, one of those guys with the big stick and the bag, and you pick up the garbage in the park and put it in the bag at Flushing Meadow Park here in New York. And the little building where we would go every morning to get our assignments, they had this little radio that it seemed to constantly have this Elton John song playing. I didn't like the song, but 30 or so years later, if I hear that song, I am immediately back in that kind of sitcom experience of weird characters that I spent that summer working with. Bit of this Elton John song, "Someone Saved My Life Tonight." Clay always takes me back to the summer of 75, despite the fact that this was not the kind of music I was listening to by choice back then. So, but it seems to be a very effective nostalgia trigger anyway.
Yeah, I think that's, you make a good point there, because a lot of times we do tend to think of the song or the music that we're choosing that we like, but another way to look at it is that's just the song that was playing. In other words, was associated with those particular experiences that you're nostalgic about. And so because of that association, because they, you know, they co-occurred, hearing that music is going to bring you back to those experiences, despite the fact that that wasn't necessarily your favorite music.
Right. Now, in your study involving music and nostalgia, what did you do? How did you test this?
Okay, so we've done this in a couple different ways. One is, you know, we bring participants into the laboratory. Prior to that, we, you know, had given them a questionnaire asking them to identify songs that make them nostalgic. And so when they come into the laboratory, we have that stimuli ready. Mm-hmm. So we randomly assign participants to either receive that music or to receive somebody else's nostalgic music, right? So they're getting similar music, but for some people it's a trigger of nostalgia, and for others it isn't. The other way we've done it is we've actually had people in internet experiments where they get online to complete the study, and we asked them to open another tab in their internet browser and go to YouTube and find a song that they're nostalgic about, or in a control condition to find a song that they've recently heard and really like, but it wouldn't be a nostalgic song, right? It'd be something they were recently exposed to. So in both those types of experiments, what we find is when the participants who get the nostalgia music, music that they were nostalgic for, as opposed to the people who were listening to someone else's nostalgic music, or the people who were listening to songs that they only recently heard. The nostalgic people experience greater psychological benefits, including increased positive mood, increased perceptions of meaning in life, a greater feeling of being loved or connected to others, and even greater optimism about the future.
And this is measurable. You can document this.
Yeah, we give them psychological instruments or, you know, questionnaires that have been validated to mm-hmm. test these different indicators of well-being.
So Clay, it sounds like one of the things that, you know, makes music or anything else trigger nostalgia is you have to have some distance from it in time. Is that right?
Yes. So there are studies that suggest that people's nostalgic memories tend to be further away in psychological space. And what I mean by psychological space is they could be further away in time. So they're more likely to be older memories, or they could be further away in geographical space too. So people are nostalgic memories tend to be for places that they're far away from now. So there is this idea that nostalgia is more abstract and further away from you.
Hmm.
Than other types of memories.
We're speaking via Skype with Clay Rutledge, Associate Professor of Psychology at North Dakota State University, who has researched the connection between nostalgia and music that we and you, our listeners, have been exploring and talking about all this week. I have, Clay, one more listener comment I want to read to you. This is from Joan, who writes, I'm old enough to remember the late 50s and the 60s, but the 30s and 40s were before I was born. I would have loved to have seen the big bands when they were at the peak of their popularity. Johnny Hodges is my idol, and Billie Holiday. We have heard similar things from listeners in the past week. Can you, in fact, be nostalgic for something you were never actually there for?
Yes, this is a fascinating idea, and it's something that scholars often call historical nostalgia, as opposed to personal nostalgia, which is more about your own autobiographical experiences. And I think you can be nostalgic for times before you were around. And one way to think about it is, I'd be curious to know from your caller or other people who make similar assertions, is if when they were growing up, did their parents listen to that type
yeah.
of music? Because it might be, though, it's not from your life. It connects you somehow to other people in your family. And so it's something your parents listen to. And nostalgia might, that type of nostalgia might be one way to stay connected to previous generations, particularly those that are close to you.
Yeah. And, of course, we have recordings. You can be listening to those recordings in any decade. And people who read books about certain eras, I guess there are other ways of kind of triggering this nostalgia for people who haven't actually lived through those moments in those places. Clay, is there a song that can regularly trigger nostalgia for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So when I was in high school was when the grunge mm-hmm. or alternative music scene really took off, and a lot of these bands are real nostalgic for me because, like a lot of people, it was associated with my first real taste of freedom, getting to go to concerts when I was in high school. So bands like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, if I hear any of the music from any of those bands, it pretty instantly brings me back to being 16 years old in high school.
Clay Rutledge with us on Soundcheck, talking about music and nostalgia from North Dakota State University. It sounds like it is still this. It sounds like this entire nostalgia business is still being explored. That we're still in early days in terms of this research. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, that's a totally fair assessment. I mean, like I said, my colleagues and I have been doing this research for about 10 years. Prior to that, there really wasn't much scientific work on the psychology of nostalgia. There was the old historical work that was largely non-scientific. But it's only been in the last 10 years that psychologists and empirical psychologists have really started to probe the underlying psychological components of nostalgia. So there's a lot still to learn.
Well, we've learned a lot about our listeners in the past week, and from the various staff writers at New York Magazine, whose nostalgia issue, 100 Years of Music in New York, sort of triggered this whole journey for us on Soundcheck this week. We've been speaking with Clay Rutledge, Associate Professor of Psychology at North Dakota State University. Clay, this has been great. Thanks so much for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Remember, 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 remember